And all God's people said, all Amen. God's people shouted.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Ashley. God alone. That wow, that's the way to start this new year.
We're always blessed when you and Elio are together, Ashley, here at church. I think you guys make some beautiful music together.
Amen.
God must have known what he was doing when he put you together in the same family. Happy New Year, Pastor George.
Happy New Year, Pastor Greg.
I always look forward to starting the new year together with you, standing right here, being able to say Happy New Year to our church family, and being able to reveal and kind of share our hearts for where we feel like God is calling us as a church in the new year. And I know that 2018 is off to a great start. There are good things in store. Last night, we were together here with the Oregon Conference Young Adult Ministry, young adult leadership from all over Oregon here. Our conference president shared and Pastor Ben and the team envisioned together about what God is going to do this year here in Oregon through our young adult ministry. And that was a great way for us to be able to start the new year.
Amen.
We know that the new year's full of joys and challenges. And I know that for you, there's some challenge ahead. And you have something to share with us today, don't you?
I do. And I want to just, first of all, just thank you for people share with me, hey, I'm praying for you. We're praying for you and Leanne, for your family, for our pastoral team. And so what I need to share with you today is that I'm looking at another surgery, a surgery that will be this coming Monday. And I, you know, as I thought about this and how to share it, what I want to do is, you know, if the Apostle Paul, he said, give thanks in all things. So right now I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks to Dr. Jew and his, can you say this word in church? His colonoscopy team. You're allowed to say that in church? I don't know.
I think that's okay. You say it in church.
I have said PSA in church before, so, you know, maybe. But I'm so grateful. Grateful for that they have made me aware, made us aware. And I'm thankful for Dr. Warda, who's going to walk me through this thing. And for Dr. Rippey and Dr. Mackett are going to be part of this thing, and just the kind of support. And then from there, I think, okay, as I share with Pastor Greg and Miranda, and then share with the elders and our church board, and it just I have felt such support. In fact, Penny, when you came in today, and Penny Ammon, who is our head elder this year, and you just said to me, hey, we've been praying. I said, Penny, I felt it. I knew you were praying. I knew that there were people lifting us up. So for the good, I'm also grateful, very grateful to hear the word precancerous tissue. I'm really happy for that. And so just keep us in your prayers as I go into this surgery on Monday. I think I have to get up early. It's like a 5:30 start, you know. So they start early down there at AMC. I'm so grateful for that team as well at AMC. And yeah, and thankful for your prayers. Can I say one more thing here, Pastor Greg?
You can say anything you want to say. Okay. I mean, after you've already said colonoscopy in church, you can say whatever you want after that.
Okay, I should say this. I have had people say, especially guys will tell me, oh, I don't want to know. No, you want to know. Go ahead and do these things. It's a really good idea, okay? But what I really wanted to share here is the Lord gave me a gift that I really got surprised by, and I didn't realize it till Wednesday. But this was a couple years ago when we shared here before the first surgery. But I remember that day that Nancy Fondrich came to me and gave me a little note. And I meant to have it here to actually hold it in my hand today. But I left it at home this morning. But she gave me a note and pointed us to Psalm 25 that had been so powerful in her life and in Mick's life as she battled with cancer. And so gave me that. And what that did is, I read and pray one psalm every morning. And so I recalibrated and went to Psalm 25 for Sunday morning. That meant Monday morning was Psalm 26, and the morning of surgery was Psalm 27. So, anybody remember Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then when the enemy advances to eat your flesh, and I went, wow. This is my passage. This is for me today. And that to have courage and wait on the Lord and to trust Him. So I discovered on Wednesday that guess what? Monday morning is Psalm 27. It's the Lord gave me that. And so I just went, okay, Lord. And Leanne, when I shared with Leanne, she said, see, this God has this thing. And I still remember your words to me, Pastor Greg, that day on August of 2015. You came to me at the door and you said, God's got this. And that's what I'm holding on to, is God's got this.
Amen. So, amen. God does have this. He's got this too.
Yep.
This is another chapter, and God was not surprised by this any more or less than he was surprised by this the first time around. God has you and your entire life and all of us and our lives in his hands.
That's right.
And thank you for the example that you're setting of trusting him in all things and trusting him with your life.
Yeah.
So this is no small surgery that you're having.
So, but I want to share this, that I'm actually on the schedule to preach on February 3.
Yes.
So that would be a prayer that I'll actually be here on February, be able to come here on February 3 and be able to be with that message. Plus, there's no way I'm going to miss February 9 and 10 when Elizabeth Talbot is here to do a Good News Gospel weekend for this church. By the way, if you have plans for that weekend, change them. You want to be here February 9 and 10 when Elizabeth Talbot's here to lift up Jesus and the gospel. So, it'll take a few days, a few weeks.
Okay. Pastor George may be more optimistic than he should be about some things, but his doctors are preparing him for, and we want to be prepared as well for the reality that this is not a small surgery. They're talking about probably a week of hospitalization and a 4 to 5 week recovery window for this surgery. So I think that the church would want to know that this is an opportunity for us to pull together. I need your support, and I want to say thanks to Penny and our team of elders. Steve is going to be preaching next weekend myself and a number of our church families are going to be up at Big Lake for our winter retreat. Steve Astana will be preaching next Sabbath, and we have a great team of leaders in this church. And so,
amen.
Pastor George, we want you to feel free to be able to take the time that you need to be able to recover. Yes, we're going to be praying with you that you'll be here on February 3 to preach to us, and we're going to look forward to the day that you stand back here and lift up the gospel and lead us again as a senior pastor. That won't be long. But in the meantime, you're in our prayers, and we want to say a prayer today. This is a significant moment, and I know you're looking at the clock with one eye, but I told you beforehand, this is not a moment that we want to rush, because this matters. You have been led by God for many years as the leader of this church family, and we've been blessed to be on the receiving end of that leadership. And we know that God has this. We know that God has your life in his hands. He has Leanne's life in his hands, and we're going to be lifting you up and praying for you, your whole family, through this process.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
I know that you're not alone in desiring our prayers. There are others here in this church family, Mary Harris, Paul Howard,
Sydney Taylor.
We want to be lifting them up in prayer as well. And maybe there are some of you who, just by show of hands, would appreciate a prayer today for health and healing. And if you want to put your hand up, if you'll notice people around you that have a hand up, we're going to pray in just a minute. We're going to ask our elder team to come, and we're not going to bring the whole church forward, but our elder team to come and lay hands on Pastor George. And what I'm going to ask for you to do is maybe our congregation can just symbolically extend a hand up here toward the front. And if you saw a hand up around you, lay a hand on the person around you, and we're going to pray a prayer together and just ask God's blessing and healing to continue to be present in Pastor George's life and for Leanne as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's put a hand in. Lord, we love you. We come right now with uncertainty, but there is one thing that we're certain about, and that is that you are good,
mm-hmm.
that your
Amen.
Intentions toward us are good,
yes.
that you are a God of healing, and that we have seen your mighty power in Pastor George's life.
Amen.
All of those things we are certain about. And so as he faces some uncertainty, thank you that he's giving thanks. Thank you that he knows that his life is in your hands. We ask, Lord, very specifically for healing hand to be with him during his surgery, that you would help all of the medical team to be fully aware, and that you would give them wisdom, help them not to miss anything as they consider his best treatment. And Lord, we look forward to a good report after this surgery as far as biopsies and all the other things that happen. Mm. We thank you that you will be with us as a church, that you will be with Leanne and Pastor George's entire extended family, all of his kids and grandchildren. We ask that your Holy Spirit would have free reign in their lives, and that you would work a work of healing. Mm. And not for him alone, we pray today. We
That's
pray
right.
for all those here who have raised a hand.
Yes.
We lift up a prayer on their behalf, Lord, that your Holy Spirit also would move freely in their lives, bring whatever physical, emotional, spiritual healing is needed for every person who's in the sound of my voice here today. And may we as a church celebrate the good things that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your prayers, for your love. Let's talk about 2018.
Let's do it.
We live in interesting times.
We do.
I was thinking yesterday of, I think it was Charles Dickens in, what is it, Tale of Two Cities, he says, they were the best of times, they were the worst of times. And I thought, the best of times. You know, I heard this week that, Dow Jones went 25,000 first time in its history. It's like best of times, and then yet on Thursday, you had Mark Zuckerberg saying, I'm going to fix Facebook. And then he made the statement. He said, you know, we live, and I'm quoting, we live in an anxious and divided world. And I thought, it's in that anxious and divided world and all that's going on that Jesus Christ has given us a call. And that call we hear in John chapter 13 and verse 34. And you might want to see it on the screen there. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another.
So, that's one that you might want to mark in your Bible, by the way, because we're going to be living with that verse in a positive way during this entire year.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, behind us, Pastor Greg, and we know that not everybody can see this probably as well as we wish you could, but you may be able to see it as you get closer here at the end. But that is that we're called to love each other just as I have loved you, as He is Christ has loved us, is what we see as this uncommon love. A love that goes beyond just the hurried and shallow and kind of mediocre expressions of love that we get all too busy and run past each other. But a call to an uncommon love in Christ.
By the way, can we just press pause for 1 second and say, does that look good? Does that look good? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
If you've been a part of this church, you know that every year we have a theme and we roll that out at the beginning of the year. And you'll notice that maybe there's something a little bit different about that this year. And one of the things that's different is there's some beautiful color there. And another thing that's different is the design is incredible. And I just want to say huge thanks to Pastor Randy for working on that and all the hard work that he did during the week of the busiest week of his year as he was planning the Christmas program. So thank you, Pastor Randy, for pulling that together. It's a thing of beauty.
So this theme, it really, when you think about it, Pastor Greg, I mean, we all, you know, we use the word love. We kind of throw it, but when we put that word in front of it, that uncommon love, it's just a call to go deeper. And you know that last week, Leanne and I had the privilege of a week ago between Christmas Eve and New Year's, but we got to be in Wenatchee with our son Matt and Ryan and then the two little ones, Riker and Violet. And I got to put Riker to bed a number of times, our little grandson, he's 3 and a half. And one of the things I got to do was I found myself singing with him the same songs that my mom had sung with me. And those three songs that are so foundational to my who I've been formed as, spiritually formed as a person, as a man who's given his life to God, and that is, number one, is Jesus loves me, and that's his favorite. And then with Jesus in the family, happy, happy home, and then Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, white. So that piece of picture of love is the part that I was able to share with my grandson. And as a little boy, we'd finish and he'd look at me and say, I love you, Papa. It's like, okay, all right. I'll drive through ice and snow to be here in Wenatchee for this one. You know, that's worth any trip and any danger to get there for that. So the kind of love we're invited to.
When we think about the uncommon love of Jesus that we receive, and then as our verse reminds us, this is also an uncommon love that we're called to give, not just to receive. There's something significant in that call to love. And, even people that don't know Jesus love their families, love people around them. And even for them, they love beyond those as well. For us as Christians, we're called to love with nothing in return, and even in some surprising and challenging kinds of circumstances. We were together this last week with all of the Oregon Conference pastors and teachers for a two-day conference called Together as One. The Oregon Conference brought us all together, brought in some great speakers. Dr. John McVeigh was there. Pastor Benjamin Lundquist shared over the course of those 2 days. And Dr. Gordon Beetz shared a story about his daughter and an experience that they had this last year in connecting with, on a friendship level, with a homeless man. Share with us some of that story.
Yeah, that story really hit me, you know, because we're living in a time where we see more and more people who are homeless, more and more tents. So here she is, his daughter, living there with her. I think they have 3 children, she and her husband, and live in Redlands, California. And he said that he was there to visit, and the phone rang. It was a Sabbath afternoon. And it was a phone from a call from a man that she hadn't heard from in a while. But immediately she said, this is the man who lives in the orange grove. And here's a man who is homeless, who lives in an orange grove. And he called and he said, you know, the church I was going to that has a shower in it, I can't go and shower there anymore. And what ended up happening was, is that Gordon Beetz went along with his daughter, but they drove over, they met this man. She brought the man into her house. He showered. She set up a whole thing, and I'm not sure what the order was here, because it also showed a picture of him looking really, really, well, kind of like Pastor Greg, okay? I hadn't realized that until I was standing here in the
morning. You're off the script, Pastor George. So that was not.
That wasn't in the script.
That is not in his notes, I guarantee it.
But she gave him a good haircut and shaved him and just clean as a whistle and, you know, and just, but... And they did this, and she said to her father, she said, there's someone, and there's a quote that's really spoken to me. And I want you to see this quote on the screen. It's a quote from a woman named Anne. She said, "You love only as much as you are willing to be inconvenienced." Ooh, I'll tell you what, that one hit me right here. You love only as much as you are willing to be inconvenienced. And it immediately went, ugh. Okay, Lord, what does it mean? Here we are, we're going to stand up on Sabbath morning and talk about uncommon love. And I quickly wrote it down, and I thought, I've got to share this, and that's a mark. Yeah. It's a mark of what it looked like for Jesus. Yes. How convenient was it for him?
When we think about that word uncommon, the love of Jesus is uncommon because of the incarnation, because he was willing to leave heaven, be inconvenienced, not just to be inconvenienced, but to physically give his life and die to demonstrate the love that he has for us. And this is taking us to 1 John 3:16. We think John 3:16, God so loved. 1 John 3:16 says, how we know what real love is. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
So this goes beyond, there's the level of being inconvenienced, and then there's this level of actually laying down our life. This was some years ago now, maybe 10 even, because my son John was with me, and I don't remember why it is that John and I travel without the rest of the family, but I know we flew back to D.C., and I believe Leanne was going to meet up with us later, but we flew to D.C., he and I flew into Reagan Airport, got on the Metro, which is the D.C. Max back there, and took the train and headed out towards Silver Spring, where I was going to meet my uncle, who would pick us up and take us home. And so we're riding the subway, and all at once, a little family, a mom, a little girl and a little boy got on the train, and they were very clearly Orthodox Jews. And as they got on the train, the little boy had the side curls, and the Hasidic. And so here are these side curls, and the little hat, and they got on the train, and they sat in it right in the seat next to mine. So I was seeing them sit there, and I wasn't the only one who saw them. All at once, a man, a big man, who was staying in the further on the other end, kind of walked down the train toward, and then he started just unloading the foulest, most vile things he could say about Jews. And it was amazing. As he came walking, I knew everything in me said, you've got to stand up. And I froze. I literally froze.
It's stunning to be in that moment, isn't it?
It felt, it was just like, is... It was violence was in the air. And I sat, and all at once, across the aisle, a man stood. And he stood up, and when he stood, that gave me the courage. I didn't have it, but he stood up, and when he stood, I stood. And the two of us stood there as this man just ranted. He went past the next stop, as we came to the next stop. And I remember it was Catholic University stop, and as we came to that stop, this man just said one more vile thing and then turned and stomped off the train. But I remembered that I had not thought about that in years till last May 26. And right here in Portland. And you remember May 26, two little girls, one of them wearing the veil, and I remember the name of the scarf.
Hijab.
Thank you, the hijab. But one of them wearing that, and a man went off. And I want to read the names of the three men who stood. Ricky John Best, a man from here in Happy Valley. His family, I believe, still lives here, 53 years old. Taliesin Maridin Namki Mech, 23 years old. Micah David Cole Fletcher, 21. All three stood. All three were slashed. Ricky and Taliesin both died, gave their lives. So when I look at that, Greg, and I read these words of Scripture, he laid down his life, we ought to lay down our lives. What it tells me is that we're being called to an uncommon love that goes beyond what our normal, just kind of, we're living the life. Mm-hmm. We're called to allow, to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, please show us, let us live the love that you have called us to live.
We've probably all been inconvenienced at some point in our lives as we've tried to demonstrate God's love. Could it be that 2018 is a year where we're called to be inconvenienced, maybe intentionally, in more and more significant ways as we seek to lay down our lives and love the way that Jesus loves?
Yes. I want to share as we lead to the table. And this Sabbath, you know that in this church, we name the communion table, and we name it a name from Scripture. A name that's called, and this is the table of uncommon love. But I want to read you the words from 1 John 4, and the words, you'll see it up there, but you can see it there, but hear it as I read it, because I'm going to take the word. These are all agape words. Agape is self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Please hear it as I read these words, using the words in the original Greek that the Apostle John would have written. Agape ones, that's you and me, agape ones, let us agape one another, for agape is from God, and whoever agapes has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not agape does not know God, because God is agape. Amen? God is agape. In this, the agape of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is agape. Not that we agaped God, but that he agaped us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Agaped ones, if God so agaped us, we also ought to agape one another. No one has ever seen God. If we agape one another, God abides in us, and his agape is perfected in us.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. But how? How do we get it? How do you get this kind of love?
I love the connection with Romans 5, verse 5. It says that God dearly loved us, and that he pours his love.
He pours it right into
our hearts.
So Romans 5, that it doesn't disappoint us. We know how he loves us. He has given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's the love we're called to. So we invite the team to come forward, and we are going to invite you now to prepare your hearts to receive of the goodness of Christ through this gift, his body broken, his blood shed for each one of us. And again, I invite you, whether you're a member of this congregation or not, if you name the name of Jesus, we invite you to share together in this meal as we receive the Lord and his gift and his love to us this day. Let's sing together. Lord God, we're amazed at your love. We're amazed at your grace. We are so grateful, Lord, that you would pour out this uncommon love on us. Father, that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And Jesus, that you said yes. Yes to the call of your Father. You became one of us, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. You took all the sin of the world on you. There was no sin in you. Death could not hold you. From the right hand of the Father, you now pour out your Holy Spirit into our lives. And through the Spirit, this uncommon love that is ours in Jesus Christ, we say yes to you this day. If it's your desire to say yes to this, Lord, just lift your hand to Jesus. Count me in. Please pour your love into my heart, your agape love, that might live that love, be part of your light in this world. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen.